Leviticus 25 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I want to say how much we appreciate you listening in to the Blessings of Liberty today. I hope you'll stay with us. We have a special guest today. We're looking forward to talking with Brother Daniel Freed. He is the director of the Hope of Israel Baptist Mission. Good morning, Brother Freed. How are you today?
Very good, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for letting me be here.
We're excited about talking with you. And before we get into the radio broadcast, well, I want to say good morning to Noah. He's here. He's going to come welcome our listeners. We appreciate him and what he does as well.
Thank you. It's good to be here this morning. We do want to welcome our listeners, those who are listening in on our station here in Boone, North Carolina, WATA, it's AM 1450. We also appreciate our listeners who are listening in on AM 690 WZAP, that is located in Bristol, Virginia, and also our listeners in Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. And Brother Freed, we have gone back for many, many years, probably getting close to 20 when I first met you. And he is in town for the Hope of Israel Regional Conference and Camp Meeting. And I went by and picked up Brother Freed at the Bible Way Baptist Church, and they're out there putting the tent up. So getting ready for this. It's coming up May the 22nd through the 24th. This is going to be at the Bible Way Baptist Church. Pastor Michael Green is the pastor there, and it's going to start on the Wednesday at 7 p.m. Brother Freed is going to be preaching, and Brother Tony Hudson. And then on Thursday afternoon at 1:30, they're going to have preachers called from the floor. Thursday night at 7, there'll be Brother Hudson and Brother Freed will be preaching. Then on Friday, once again at 1:30, they'll start back up. So I'm looking forward to this. And Brother Freed, we're glad to have you with us today in the studio. I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to come and be with us. And we were talking yesterday about Israel. You know, a lot of people think about, when you think about miracles, you think about Moses parted the Red Sea. You think about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. But there's a miracle that's older than Moses and is still going on today, and that's the nation of Israel. And today is a anniversary of the Independence Day. And so, Brother Freed and I thought we might talk about this a little bit. I was going to read Isaiah 54 and verse number 7. It says, "For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee." And so the nation of Israel is a miracle. And Brother Freed, we just appreciate you so much being with us. You know a lot more about this than I do.
Well, I'm just very privileged, you know, being that I was born and raised in Judaism, and I lived in Israel for a number of years as I was growing up. Of course, I didn't know the Lord Jesus as my Savior, my Messiah, but as I eventually came to know Christ as my Savior, my appreciation for Israel just magnified, and my understanding of all of the things that Israel has, especially the prophetic significance of Israel in the Scriptures, just comes alive. And if anybody's been in Israel, they just have a renewed appreciation of Israel and a better understanding. But one of the things about today that probably is not going to be mentioned as much as I'd like to see it mentioned in the media is that, like you said, today is the day of the independence of the modern state of Israel. And that was May 14th, 1948. And then when Ben-Gurion, pretty much the prime minister, the head of Zionism there at the time, declared to the world that Israel is now a sovereign state. And it wasn't but a little while after that that Harry Truman then got on the radio and recognized Israel as a sovereign state.
I think America was the first nation to recognize Israel. Is that correct?
That is correct. And that's so significant. And And then, of course, there's a lot of history behind how it got there. I'll just talk about the biblical background of Israel becoming a nation again, and again to some of the history.
Right.
This is just it's incredible. It actually proves that the Bible's true. But it goes all the way back to a primary prophecy, and there are many others. One that you mentioned there, as many times as the word scattered is in the Old Testament, you can find the word gathered. But one of the most profound prophecies of Israel coming back is in Jeremiah chapter 24. And we'll talk about another chapter that starts with chapter 24. But in verse 4 there, this prophecy here about Israel being like a fig tree.
Yes.
And there are essentially three trees in the Bible that represent Israel in typology. You have the olive tree, you have the vine, and then you have the fig tree.
Right.
And so the fig tree has good and bad applications. In this portion right here, Jeremiah is very strongly rebuking Israel by inspiration of God. And he's saying that Israel is likened to a naughty fig. And as it mentions here, I'll just read there from the beginning there in chapter 24, verse 1. The Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord. After that, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah, with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. Then said the Lord unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs, the good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. All right, I'm just going to stop right there. Now, like you and I talked about, over the years, a number of the Protestant denominations and even Catholicism would pretty much stop right there and say, well, you know, God is forsaking his people.
Right.
They are very naughty figs. They have rejected the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now they're under God's judgment, and God is going to scatter them and judge them, and that's kind of where they leave it. So it kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And then they use this and compare this to a number of portions in New Testament where the Lord Jesus comes upon a fig tree, right? And there that fig tree has no doubt beautiful leaves are showing. Leaves would indicate that there ought to be some kind of fig underneath the leaves, either the first ripe figs or a full-grown fig. And he comes upon it. And, of course, he knows all things. He's omniscient. He knows all things. And he comes and he knows that that fig tree doesn't have any figs. It looks like it should have figs.
Yes.
But there's no figs. That I'll preach.
Uh-huh.
You can preach that about a lot of things, right? So what does he do? So the Lord Jesus curses that tree and says that tree will never bring forth figs again. Again, that's another verse that seems to back up the fact that God has judged Israel. The Jewish people are under the wrath of God. Anything that happens to them, they deserve it. This is the mentality out there, an ungodly, unbiblical mentality, but has fostered anti-Semitism and among so-called Christianity. And so, however, what is being ignored is the rest of this. This is actually a prophecy. It's actually a wonderful prophecy of the future of Israel and the Jewish people. So we have the understanding of this prophecy explained in verse 4. In Jeremiah 24, verse 4, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. Now, it seems like it's getting where I come from in Georgia, says getting gooder.
Yes.
All right, not proper English, but hey. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and here it is, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Boy, I'll tell you what, that is so encouraging. So we really have kind of a threefold fulfillment that is to be achieved out of this prophecy. Number one, that the Jewish people as a nation will be gathered back into their land.
Which has happened.
Which has happened. And today is the day.
65-year anniversary.
Amen. It's a blessing.
It is a blessing.
And you look back and you see how God had his hand in orchestrating all of this. And then now the second is that they're going to be built up. Now, back in the days when Mark Twain visited Palestine before 1948, it was completely desert land. And he pretty much said it was a God-forsaken land. It was a desolate land. But if you go back to Israel today, it's actually, as far as the Middle East is concerned, it is the most attractive, modernized country in all of the Middle East.
Right.
And, most of the high-tech companies are now doing their R&D there. Right, research and development, and most everything we enjoy in the world, as far as convenience, as far as even this microphone, you know, this microphone, the microphone was invented by a Jewish fella whose name was Miktam, and so we get the word mic.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yes, sir. And so many things we enjoy can be contributed to the nation of Israel. And the Jewish people, our cell phones, of course. Motorola, I think, was first developed over there in Israel, and many, many other things. Our PC operating system. You know, I could spend a whole week just talking
medicine.
About that. Medicine. Just about every walk of life.
Yeah.
And, of course, the devil would like you to zero in on the negative contribution. Well, that's what the devil does.
Right.
But God said that Jewish people, would be a blessing to all the families of the earth.
Yeah. I'll bless him that blesseth thee and curse him that curseth thee.
Amen.
And God told Abraham he would be a blessing.
Absolutely.
And he has been, the Jewish people and their contribution. You were talking about Israel. Now, in my mind, I've never been there, but I imagine a desert.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at pictures and things, and it evidently is a very beautiful, lush, well, just like the Bible says, you know, the desert will blossom as a rose. And the Jewish people, did they not bring that back to life?
They did. I mean,
irrigation and,
yes, sir.
You know,
today it is indeed a land of milk and honey.
Yes.
Even when I was there in the early 70s, you could see how they were bringing water from the north and bringing it into the Negev desert and literally transforming desert into oasis. The technology, the know-how, the wisdom of God that God gave to the children of Israel. They got highways just as big as we have over here in the States.
Right.
Buildings, about everything you can imagine. And I just want to kind of throw this in. The Arab states have benefited in many ways from the advancement that the Israelites have brought to the Middle East. And constantly you read reports in the paper how that the Arabs, the Egyptians, the Syrians, the Lebanese, and the so-called Palestinians are bringing their children to get heart surgery and transplants and new arms and legs and all that stuff. And they're, because not making a big publicity about it, but underground, they're getting the Israelite, the doctors to do these things.
Right.
You know? And so anybody that says, you know, the Jews are bad and this and that, and we should have nothing to do with them. Well, one guy said, if you really was to fulfill that request, then most people that had venereal disease would die. Most people that had pneumonia would die. Most people that have any, most of the primary diseases would be dead. People that have strokes would die. On and on and on you can go, right? Well, we need the Jewish people because God has used them to be, like you said, a blessing to the families. And that's just the human side of it.
Right.
But then we know that the spiritual side is the most important.
Yes.
That through the Jewish people, as I say in everywhere, every church I go, that we are indebted to the Jewish people for three major reasons. Number one, the Word of God, the old King James Bible.
Right.
Romans chapter 3, it was committed unto them, the oracles of God. The Jewish people were used by God to bring us the Word of God, both the Old and the New Testament. And every writer was a Jewish person, and I know that's, you know, some would like to debate that, but I just take God's word.
Yes.
When he says the oracles of God, and the Gospel of Luke is an oracle of God. Amen?
It is.
And even one brother was telling me the other day, he said, well, how about Job? Job wasn't Jewish. It doesn't matter. Is that not part of the oracle of God? You see?
It is.
I just take God's word literally.
Yes.
So we are indebted to the Jewish people because of the oracles of God, the Holy Scriptures.
Scriptures.
Amen.
Was one.
That's right. That's one. Then number two would be salvation. The Bible says salvation is of the Jew.
Yes.
Now, that's spiritually that God used the Jewish people to bring us the message of salvation, both in the Old and New Testament. And number three would be our Savior.
Yes.
Now, when Christ was hanging on an old rugged cross, Pilate put that inscription on top of there. He used a definite article, and it says,
the
King of the Jews.
Right.
So you have a Jewish Savior who is the one who would die and pay for our sins for the world. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, we're praying in the name of a Jewish Savior.
I know.
We have a Jewish Bible. I know people don't like hearing that. This is a Jewish Bible.
I like to hear it. I don't have a problem.
Amen, amen. That's good.
I'm just a Gentile that by the grace of God got in on what the Lord has promised for. So,
amen.
And Paul said, you know, he's a debtor to the Jew and to the Greek, and him being a Jew. But many times I've preached about, you know, Gentiles had no promises, no Bible, no Savior. No hope.
Nothing.
Idolaters.
They're aliens.
Yeah. Aliens. That's right. Yeah. I've studied a little bit about my family history, you know, and our Greer is Scottish.
Uh-huh.
If you study those people, they're heathens.
Yeah.
I mean, sacrifice their children.
Uh-huh.
They were heathens.
Yes, sir.
They come from the Picts, and they were known. They called them the Picts because let me tell you this thing about tattoos. That's not new.
Yeah.
That's heathen. And they called them the Picts because they drew pictures on their bodies. So, you know, my family history, we have nothing to brag about. Heathens, no God, no salvation.
Right.
But through Christ, we can have eternal life with him, good life down here.
Yes.
And so praise the Lord. So, it doesn't offend me to have a Jewish Bible, a Jewish Savior.
Yes.
I thank God for it. And any Christian person that knows what the Bible says will have a heart for the Jewish people. And there are a lot of Christian people that have a heart for the Jews, that are for Israel. You know, our administration may not, they're just anti. That's all there is to it. But there's a lot of Christian people in America that realize the importance and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so not everybody, especially here in the South, is anti. But there is a lot of that. I've seen a rise.
There is a lot. And I know a lot of times we focus on the different groups that are anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, so forth. You'll find most of the time those same people are anti-Bible believers.
Right.
Anti-Baptist, you know.
Yes.
Anti things of God, because we seem to have a connection with the Jewish people. True Bible believers have a historical connection to the Jewish people. For example, during the Inquisition period, not only were the Baptists put at the stake and fired up, but alongside them were Jewish people.
Yes.
Simply because they were Jewish, and the Catholics would take these types of Old Testament references that God was judging them, and they felt that they were God-forsaken people, and it was their duty to fulfill the Word of God and to carry that out.
Right.
And so alongside we Baptists that are being burned at the stake for the Word of God, Jewish people are also being burned at the stake for being Jewish.
Right.
There has been a, if I use this word, you know, carefully, but there has been a confederacy with Bible-believing Christians and the Jewish people all down through history.
Right.
And so that's why, as I grew up in the Jewish religion, and I being Jewish myself, I was always taught that anybody other than a Jewish person is a Christian. This, of course, is a misnomer.
Yes.
And but true Bible-believing Christians automatically, inherently, and spiritually have a unique love for God's chosen people, the
right.
Jewish people.
Well, we were talking about this is the 65-year anniversary of the State of Israel.
Yes.
And you mentioned to begin with Zionism.
Right.
Which Zionism
was,
in part at least, and I'm not an expert by any means, but
yes, sir.
Christian people, that they seen a need. And God stirred in their heart, hey, there needs to be a recognized home, and the Jewish people, they need to be in their land. That's where they're from. That's their land.
Right.
They called it Palestine.
Right.
What were you telling me about your stepfather?
My stepfather, yes.
His passport? Tell
yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Yes, sir. Well, back in, before 1948, the Jewish community had to develop their own, army, so to speak, get ready for that. And there was one in particular called the Haganah, and they became officially the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. But my stepfather was an immigrant from Russia, and as a teenager, they enlisted him into the Haganah. And the Jewish community all had papers or passports, and they said on those passports that they were Palestinians.
Right.
So it was really primarily the Jewish people in the land of Palestine that were called Palestinians.
Right.
It wasn't only until 1967 that the Arabs that were in the refugee camps in Israel took on coined the name Palestinian for themselves. So this is very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it not true that Palestine is a place, not a people?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it was actually coined by the Romans.
Right.
And actually, Palestina is mentioned in the Old Testament.
Right.
So it really encompasses that whole region. But we know that God renamed that region to Israel based on the promise. And God gave that land to Israel to be the stewards of that land. So, biblically, it should be called Eretz Israel, the land of Israel.
Yes.
That's the way it should be called. And the Romans didn't want them to have feelings for the land like they used to, so they made it officially Palestine.
Called it Palestine.
Yeah, to kind of get them away from this thing, you know.
Yeah.
And you have the Ottoman, the Turks, and the British. They all kept that Palestine name.
Yeah.
But when they decided, and they actually had a discussion as to what they should call the land in 1948, today, in 1948, what should we call the land?
Uh-huh.
And they said, well, we're going to make it biblical because that's God ordained it. So we're going to call it the land of Israel.
Right.
Right.
Isn't that a testimony to the power of God? You have the greatest empires in the world.
Yeah.
The Romans, the Greeks, and they say, no, it doesn't need to be Israel. It needs to be Palestine. But what is it called?
That's it.
Israel.
It's called Israel.
It's Israel.
Now they're still trying to get Israel off the map. If you look
at a
map in Saudi Arabia of that region, Israel's not there.
Uh-huh.
Even some of the companies in the United States trying to appease the Arabs would change Israel and call it Palestine or whatever. You know?
Right.
But after protest, they would get back to the way they're supposed to do it. But the fact of the matter is that and if we just have, I know, a little while to go here, but I like to read the historical basis of Israel. It really all started with what they call the Father of Zionism, Theodor Herzl.
Uh-huh.
And what people don't realize is that even Theodor Herzl was in contact with a Christian Zionist. And I had forgotten his name, but recently they memorialized him in Israel, I believe last year, and that he had a profound impact on Theodor Herzl and was very influential on the leaders of Europe to give Theodor Herzl and what was developed as the first Zionist Congress there in 1897, the basis and you might say the open door to pursue Israel as a homeland for the Jewish people. And so now in 1917, Balfour was the prime minister, and the story goes that Chaim Weizmann, who was very instrumental in helping him win the war in World War One, he was asked, what can we do to pay you back for your contribution? I guess he invented something like, you know, equivalent to TNT, because they'd run out of gunpowder, you know.
Right.
And so Chaim Weizmann said, I want my people to have their home back, the homeland. So the Balfour Declaration says this: His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people, and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine, or the rights and political status enjoyed by Jews in any other country. So, this was great. God blessed England for it.
Right.
But then they reneged.
Yeah.
They reneged on that to appease the Arab nations over oil, whatever the case may be. And consequently, 6 million Jews died as a result of this. They couldn't get out. They couldn't immigrate.
Right.
But may I end with my portion here? Probably I don't have enough time left. But as hard and difficult as that was, God was preparing the land for the people of Israel, of the Jews.
Right.
And then by World War II, God was preparing the Jews for the land.
Amen.
And that's a famous saying.
Well, I believe there in Jeremiah 24, where you were reading, God said he was going to allow this. Verse number 5, and I don't want to misquote it here, but sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good.
Amen.
Sometimes God allows something bad, but in the big picture, it's actually for their good.
Amen.
And so today, you want proof of America? Look at Israel. Not proof of America. Yes. Look, proof of a miracle.
Right, miracle, right.
Proof of the veracity of the scriptures.
Yes.
Look at Israel. Absolutely. Look at the Jew.
Yes, sir.
Look at all the wars they've fought since 1948. And they're still there.
Amen,
against
brother.
Overwhelming odds. You look at the little speck on the map.
Yeah.
And there's still the Jew. And they're not going anywhere.
No, sir.
That is one thing that Mr. Obama said the last time he went over there.
Uh-huh.
I listened to one of the speeches that he made in the university in Jerusalem. And he said, Israel is not going anywhere. I said, that's one thing the man said. I agree with
you.
Israel is not going
Amen
anywhere.
Amen to that, my brother.
Well, our time is quickly coming gone today. I hope you've enjoyed it. It is so interesting to me. As a Bible believer, as a Christian, and Brother Freed, put down on your calendar to come to the meeting May the 22nd through the 25th. And maybe the Lord will work it out. You could come back and we could talk again while you're here. I have really enjoyed it.
Amen.
And,
it's been a blessing.
I appreciate you coming. Noah's going to come and give the contact information. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening into the Blessings of Liberty. And remember, the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Thank you, Noah.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer. The Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that is located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our contact information, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANON bc.org.
I'm Mike Rayley. The man who runs the Associated Press says there's no possible justification for the Department of Justice's grab of phone data covering 2 months last year. The records include work and personal numbers of reporters and general switchboard calls. Senator Kay Hagan tells us she's concerned that the records were not